for July the 29th, 2022, we talk about Overwhelm, Zombie Army 4, Stray, and much more. Welcome to Level 423. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Ben, you are boiling alive right now.
Yeah, it's, it's only 90 degrees, but the issue is nobody in the Pacific Northwest has air conditioners, so we're kind of learning year over year that maybe that should not be the case, but
you're like the UK in that sense.
I guess, yeah. But there's a lot of MacGyver solutions for how to like cool down your apartment that people kind of trade with one another. So
it's such a point of pride. There's a lot of hubris that I associate with people from the Pacific Northwest, just because of all of my exposure to Portland. The whole, oh yeah, we have such mild summers. We don't like that. That was a feeling up until a few years ago, and then Everybody started getting like little portable air conditioners.
Yeah. Oh,
not that I am not deriving any kind of Schadenfreude out of this. But it certainly is like, oh, everybody's going to have to use air conditioners, and that's going to make the situation worse.
Yes.
Yeah. Spirals.
There was a CNN article that was talking about that, about like how we need to, Americans need to stop using air conditioners and, build, more, you know, energy efficient houses and stuff. It's like, oh, honey, it's adorable that you think we're going to build any houses.
Oh, yeah, we haven't built houses since 2004. So, yeah, I thought about spending the money to get a heat pump. Because you know, it's the usual kind of gambit, right? Where you invest a lot of money up front and, you know, save on the energy bill as it goes. However, I don't think I'm going to be in this house long enough to recoup that cost. And I don't think somebody who would be shopping for a 1,000 square foot ranch on a slab in my town would be necessarily enticed to buy a heat pump. So it's not like I would be able to get a lot of resale out of it. So shit, I will keep this air conditioner from the 90s.
What's your situation vis-a-vis solar? I feel like you might be in an area good for solar.
Yeah, my situation with solar is good. It's just a matter of I've not looked into the process for what to do with it.
It probably also borders on the whole you got to be there a certain amount of time to make sense.
Yes.
Yeah, unless we can get some like actual government funding, but that would require America to do something good for its citizens. So.
Yeah, that I'm not going to hold out hope for that. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you're wilting, Ben. Is there any, what's going on? How's your week been?
It's pretty good. I saw Nope when it came out on Friday, and that was pretty awesome. I won't say anything about it because I don't want to spoil it, but it's worth a watch. It's a movie that gets a lot better the more you think about it.
Nice.
So, yeah. Like, I wasn't sure what I watched when I like walked out of the theater. And like, I was a little bit sleepy too. It's the afternoon. It's my nap time. But anyway, but it got a lot better. Like there's really good themes that are in the movie. So
neat.
Yeah, anyway. And then I also saw season 3 of Atlanta over the weekend. And that was also really great.
Oh, cool.
A lot of really good bottle episodes that don't even have the main cast in it, but are really thought provoking. So
nice. What is this about? 'Cause
like, which one?
Atlanta. Like airplanes and soulless,
Donald Glover is like the creator of it, and he's a writer and actor in it, but it's like in the show, he's a person who lives in Atlanta. He has like a girlfriend and a child, and his cousin's a rapper who's about to get famous. And so he decides to be his manager. But a lot of the strength is like Donald Glover's writing style, where it's this weird like blend of surrealism and just good writing and observational comedy and stuff. So
Yeah, I've liked him. He's one of my favorite parts of Community. It's kind of weird that I have not watched any Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely worth one's time. So, yeah.
Nice. I want to see Nope, but I'm not going to go to a theater to do it. So
fair.
Yeah. I need to watch his other movies first, and he needs to stop making movies that are really good because I'm falling behind.
Oh, they're only two. I don't know that you could watch them with a child.
No, probably not.
Nope.
Oh man, nice. Kind of moving by temperature, David, you would be the next warmest. So what's been going on with you?
We need to get to him before his computer overheats.
Right, exactly. Not a whole heck of a lot on it, honestly. Just continuing to gear up for Dragon Con, working on a jacket and then making some modifications, kind of Frankensteining together a outfit to get it to fit.
Okay,
so
nice.
Yeah there's so that's fun, but you know, stressful.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that time is coming up pretty quick. Like all those cons are happening at once.
Right, exactly.
As though it was some kind of season for them. Yeah.
You know, in Australia, con season is the other side of the year.
Lots of. I don't think Australia has cons.
There's yes, they do. The nation was founded by cons. Oh, come on. Hey,
fair enough.
That was a layup. You gave him a layup, David.
Yep.
My work here is done. I'll see you guys next week.
The thing that disturbs me, and Grant, I haven't known that many Australians, but all of them I have known have been very proud of that fact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
says an American.
Well, I mean, if I had to choose between being a nation founded by convicts or a nation founded by backwards religious weirdos who everybody in Europe hated, so they had to leave, I would go with the convicts.
It's a real lose-lose situation.
But think about this. With as shitty as England was, a lot of things that they consider crimes would probably be pretty cool. Oh my gosh.
It's all about the context.
Dennis, you're probably the next warmest. So how about you?
Yeah, con prep as well on my side. I have submitted all of my events, but I have not had them approved yet. But basically, if you're at Gen Con, at the top of every hour, I'll be doing an event to hang out and try Deck of Wonders.
Nice.
And getting those in was way less painless than it's been in the past, because they finally have a duplicate event button. And before you had to like do a weird Excel form and everything, if you had like, cause you know, all told it's like 30 events.
Okay.
But you know, before you would have to use an obscure form or God forbid, enter them all individually. Now you can just duplicate and modify the time.
Oh, so, that's good. Oh, so you mean less painful, not less painless.
Yes. What did I say? Yes. That thing.
You said less painless.
Yeah. Less painless, yes. Except the opposite of that. I also, while I'm out there, I'm going to go see a podcast live show for an actual play podcast that I enjoy. Mm-hmm. That is nice, because when I was at Gen Con last in person, I went and saw them. This is the Glass Cannon Network.
Oh, cool.
So this is like a return to form. I hope that things don't spike badly enough that gets canceled.
Yeah,
but you know, at least it seems like, you know, the cons are being fairly good about enforcing masks, and the people who are going are being cool about that. And from what I know of the Glass Cannon podcast and network, like they are all behind that as well. So
yeah,
it'll be as safe as it can be, and I'm excited for it.
Very cool. I don't have too much, just a combination of trying to get caught up from all of the recording disruptions that I've had this month, with Gary being sick and then internet problems and him moving. You know, when you do 90% of your work with one person and that person is out of commission, and stuff starts needing to be moved around, you know, it creates a bit of chaos, but we're on the better side of it right now, which is good. Also dealing with my family getting COVID.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's spiking again.
Yeah, it's almost like it never really went away.
Like, yeah. It's funny that, huh? It's been growing like the past 6 months, but people just kind of are done with it.
Yeah. You know, three times as many people are calling in sick as they were at this time last year.
Mm-hmm. Good boy.
Yeah. It's not good.
Plus side, it seems like all the symptoms are mild now since most people are vaccinated and boosted.
That's the thing. I've been very fortunate, you know, four of the people closest to me, Gary, and then my immediate family members all got it. And all of them have, you know, some kind of, let's say, condition that would exacerbate the disease. Mm-hmm. However, it's all been mild and they are all at various points of being of recovering, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
So I have never really stopped my COVID precautions, but I am now, instead of, you know, sometimes going into a store while wearing a mask, I am now curbside only, at least until mm-hmm. things trend in a better direction.
Have you stopped French kissing strangers?
I mean, I have to
only live my the French.
Yes, the French numbers are spiking. I have to live my life is the thing. So I am going to keep living my life.
Cole has slits in the front of all of his masks for this.
Oh, no.
I mean, to be fair, I initially put those slits in there for eating hot dogs.
Well, now.
Well, no, just hot dogs. It's got to be big enough for the bun, and mm-hmm. you don't want ketchup getting on there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So just dealing with all of that, I could complain about the fact that I have to have a tree taken down on my property, and that's going to cost a lot of money, but nobody wants to hear about that.
Confirmed?
What did the tree do?
There's a real variety of responses there.
Yeah. Silence confirmed. And what did the tree do? Oh no, the tree got fungus. The tree's mostly rotten inside. And if the tree fell over, it would destroy my house. So,
but then you can probably invest in solar panels. So.
That can be your new home. It's underneath solar panels.
Yeah, I don't think that insurance will cover a house that is destroyed by a tree that somebody told you was going to fall over. Oh my gosh! How do we feel about doing just the regular kind of show?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that means we would have to do the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss. And why don't we get started with
the grind?
The grind, where we talk about the things we have been playing recently. Who has something new?
Oh boy. I do have a new game, but it's like, you know, an hour of a new game.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, it's an indie game, so I feel good about talking about that. It's called Overwhelm.
Overwhelm.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, so it's the shtick of the game is that you don't level up, the enemies do. And basically you're diving into a hive of insect/Cthulhu type creatures. And every you kind of choose where you go in the hive. From like a hub, and every time you defeat one of the boss creatures, it gives some kind of buff or perk to the enemies. And so I haven't played enough to know like what the winning strat is, but I imagine if you want to get consistent at the game, there's kind of a order that you want to take the bosses out in, so that you know you have to deal with the worst enemy upgrades the least amount of time. But you know that also means you're kind of packing the difficulty spike to the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
So it all kind of works out. And there is some kind of, strategy there on where you go, but your move set and your abilities stay the same throughout. You're not going to get stronger. The enemies are.
Okay.
So it's a little, 2D got real Metroid vibes, kind of roguelite type of deal. The art is like super, super low fidelity pixel art. And it's got like a red, black and white color scheme. And normally, like, I feel like on this show, we're usually for those like limited color palettes, like that works really well.
Yeah.
But I think there is an amount of intention that needs to go into using them, especially if you're going to have kind of this lo-fi aesthetic alongside it. Especially because this game moves relatively quickly, it just turns the screen into visual mush really quickly, where it's hard to tell what's you and what's an enemy and what's a part of the level, what you can walk on, what you can't, etc. And as things get hectic, that gets more and more difficult to parse. Again, that could just be the nature of my time with the game. But, you know, overwhelm is in the title, so I feel like you got to give them a little slack on that front. Like, it accomplishes what it promises. Like, as things go crazy, like, just keeping track of everything is overwhelming. So, you know, I can't say they didn't warn me.
But in a game where it is, you know, entirely on skill, you know, there is no avatar strength really to speak of, them taking away readability. You know, readability is a pretty big thing in shooters like this. You know, I think it is reasonable, no matter what the title is, to point out that they have kind of stacked that part of the deck against you.
Yeah. And again, maybe as you kind of learn to read the game, it gets better, but really it's the combination of the limited color palette, low fidelity graphics, and then just super fast twitchy gameplay that is getting me right now. There is, so, you know, it's all one big world, but the camera moves as if there are kind of individual, for the most part, static screens. So you get to, like, to the edge of an area, go through the door, and the camera will kind of shift over to the next area. And for the most part, that's fine, but I've definitely died more than a couple times to having a fast enemy just off screen, and I go through the door, and just get ganked before I can react. And it is all one hit kills, one touch.
You're dead.
So this game is brutal. You know, you can work around that, and like in any tactical scenario, doors are the kind of choke points. So treating those with a little more respect is warranted, especially because there can be enemies just ready to jump you on the other side. But that, you know, there's definitely more than a few frustrating deaths from between you know the graphical sensibilities and the way the screen moves on that front. Go ahead. Well, the feel of the game overall is really good. And, you know, the kind of bopping around and feeling like you're a badass, it accomplishes that when you don't have one of those kind of weird scenarios happening.
Yeah. Is there any permanent progression or just straight up whatever?
None. That is their thing.
That's unfortunate.
You don't get stronger, the enemies do. Yeah. I don't know if there's permanent progression of the hive. It would be very interesting if they had like permanent buffs for the hive after you reach certain milestones. That would be in line with the oeuvre of this game, but I haven't seen anything like that yet.
A rogue dislike.
Yeah. So that is overwhelm.
How does the limited ammo factor into runs? Are you kind of refreshing ammo when you kill enemies? Are you finding it at certain points? Like, how randomized is the experience, and does that ammo get in the way?
Yeah, so you reload back to full every time you go through like a checkpoint room.
Okay.
Not a literal checkpoint, but like kind of connective tissue between major areas. It'll bump you back up to full, and I have yet to really get even below a third ammo. Again, as you get further in the game, the enemies get tougher, and so I could see that being more constricting. You always have a punch, which you can use, but I haven't seen like ammo crates or anything around. it's mostly, you know, a number that they've made high enough to not be annoying. But if it ever gets, you know, to that point, unless they start throwing ammo crates out or what have you, I could see just running out of ammo feeling cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, a fun little adrenaline rush if you're looking for that kind of thing.
Nice. What else?
What else have I played? More of the old standbys. I went back to SnowRunner and put some more time in there. And you know, usually I stop playing that game when something disastrous happens. So this time around, I was trying to rescue this like big rig that was stuck up in the mountains and pull it down to a garage that I had to deliver it to. So I was towing it with another truck. And managed to get the axle of the truck I was towing, like the wheels kind of stick out. It's like a dually kind of situation. Get that caught around a tree, in a way that my current truck was not powerful enough to pull it back up the hill to get it unstuck.
Okay.
But I couldn't just pull it forward because it was stuck on the tree. And so after working on that for 15 minutes and realizing this just isn't going to happen, that was my last stopping point.
Can you go get a helicopter?
This is not Snow Flyer, Cole. It's Snow Runner, which doesn't work for trucks either. You can choose at any point to reset a mission.
Okay.
Where it just, you know, it puts all the objectives back where they started. And so that's, you know, when I go back to it, that's probably what I'll have to wind up doing. I could spend a lot of time just looking for that perfect angle to winch it from that would move it, you know, enough to get it off from around the tree. But, you know, at this point, for my sanity, I feel like I've explored enough on that front and I can give myself the grace of a reset.
And yeah. This isn't a tree you can just knock over.
No, I wish. I'm wondering, by the way, as you get bigger and bigger trucks, there's kind of two categories of trees in the game for me so far. There's, you know, basically trees that are fixed in the ground. They're not going to move no matter what. And then there's trees that you can rip out of the ground if you pull too hard or from the wrong angle. And I'm wondering if as you get bigger trucks, those pole trees will become more susceptible to being ripped out of the ground.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But yeah, that would be, again, that's one of the moments in the game when that happens for the first time. You're like, oh yeah, raw power. But also now I'm stuck. So that's not great.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So do you have any trucks you've unlocked recently or that you're working on upgrading or anything like that?
Yeah. My main scout vehicle, I've switched over from the Chevrolet that you start with to an H2 Hummer.
Okay.
Almost exclusively for the reason that when you equip their extra fuel package, I forget exactly what it's called, tank, I guess. Instead of putting it on a roof rack, it puts it like in the bed of the truck, which why they don't do that with the Chevrolet, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that just makes it much easier to not roll your vehicle.
Yeah, a number of the vehicles, especially ones with roof racks, if you're going to do it, you need to get the battery-powered winch so that you can still use the winch after the engine stalls.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. That is a must-have if it's unlocked.
Yeah.
But yeah, beyond that, you know, I haven't done anything significantly new in terms of like verbs or challenges. It's still, you know, pull this thing from point A to point B. Just a lot of zen fun, kind of working on a little problem here and there.
Yeah.
Have you done any pulling a trailer with a truck that does have the proper hitch?
Just by using your winch?
Yeah.
I've done that with vehicles. I've actually towed a vehicle back like 90% of the way to a garage before realizing, wait a second, I can just hop into that vehicle and use the recover function to take it back to the garage. Like there are some vehicles that the mission is to tow them to a certain place and you like have to tow them and actually pull them into the physical space. And other vehicles out there are just like, hey, when you find this vehicle, you unlock it. And it really does not do a good job delineating between those two things. So
right.
Pay attention. You might, you know, you might be pulling a truck for miles and miles that you could have just pushed a button to collect.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's me. That's the stuff I've been playing.
Okay, cool. I'll do one because it's new for me, although I am discovering that it is neither an especially new game like I thought it was, nor is it the game that I thought it was going to be. So, as usual, most of my gameplay time has been taken up by assignment play. The aforementioned busyness, trying to keep things on track and get them back on track. But I sat down, I had a little bit of time today. I was like, I want to play something light. And also, as I was looking through my PS5 library specifically, I saw, oh, Trackmania. Dennis has talked about this. And so I downloaded it, played, you know, the first two sets of missions and really enjoyed it. And then as I sat down, I was like, okay, I need to make sure, you know, like, okay, so Trackmania Turbo, is this the most recent one? No, it's not.
Oh yeah.
In fact, it's not actually in the like that it is a completely different kind of game. So I'm sitting here at, you know, playing this game, and I'm like, wow, this isn't really like what Dennis described at all. Or more accurately, this is not what I pictured in my head when Dennis was talking about the games, the game that he really, really mm-hmm, likes, mm-hmm. Right? You know, I was picturing something kind of slow, and if not, you know, slow, something very technical. Like say a game that I have a little bit more experience with, Trials, right? The dirt mm-hmm. bike game Trials, mm-hmm. which is like a combination like puzzle game / dexterity test kind of deal. And Trackmania Turbo, when I played this, I was like, wow, this is much faster than I imagined based on what was being described. And that's because Trackmania Turbo is a spinoff.
Whole other deal. Now it does. I mean, the Trackmania oeuvre is intact in that game, and that is actually the first Trackmania game I ever played. That's how I found it. So you're starting in a good spot. Like no one would be like, oh, that's not the real Trackmania. Yeah. It's like, I mean, that is the weird cousin of the Trackmania family, but it's definitely mm-hmm. in the family. Yeah. So are you on just the first like car type?
I don't know that I'm on just the so I don't know how to answer that. Yeah. because the first set that I did in the white set of whatever in the valley or the canyon or whatever it was, the canyon, that I think that was a different kind of car than what I used in the oh gosh, the valley, and then my ill-fated attempt to dip my toe into the roller coaster world.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That. So you've seen a bunch of the different car types.
Yes. Yeah. My favorite of them is the weird little off-roading one. I like that little buggy that you have there. Yeah. The reason why this didn't necessarily like flip my, I should really check that this is the same game that Dennis likes, is because it did adhere to the general style that I expected, which is a PvE racing game, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed the loop. You know, in this game, a track, you know, a round on a track will take you probably about a minute, and then you just iterate over and over, doing one of my favorite things in racing games, the ghost match. Right, where you're mm-hmm. either going against, you know, here is what we consider to be this, you know, not just the time for a silver, you know, for a silver medal on this, but here's somebody doing it, so you can kind of, you know, in real time throughout a race, not only compare your, you know, relative progress, but also see how they deal with the different, you know, the different obstacles that are there for you. I really enjoy that. I've enjoyed ghost races as far back as like, I think Mario Kart, if not 64, then Wii, you know, dig those, dig the ghost race. I also like an arcadey, racing game. This is incredibly arcadey to the point where all of the signs and all of the interface stuff feels for all the world like a Sega arcade game from 2004.
Yeah, that was the big art direction choice for the game. So like Trackmania Turbo is Trackmania that an art director got a hold of.
Gotcha.
And they just like really crazy and fun with all the signage, and like every time they count you down to start, it's in a different language, which I love. So I know how to count backwards from three in so many languages. So because of Trackmania Turbo.
So regular Trackmania, does it have different vehicles? I thought it was all like a Formula One car.
Trackmania when it started out, and I'm going to get this wrong because there's a long history of these games. But basically the one that kind of took off, there was a Trackmania Canyon, and then there was a Trackmania, I think it's Trackmania 2 that all this happened. Trackmania Canyon, Trackmania, you know, Valley, Trackmania, all these different things. And then basically with Trackmania Turbo, they packaged it all together. They're like, okay, you don't have to buy four different mini games. Like, you just all the environments are in this one big game. And then there were some other variants of Trackmania where they kind of packaged it like that. But in each different environment, you're driving a different car. And those cars are similar dialects of the language of Trackmania, but they definitely handle differently.
Yeah.
And in Trackmania 2020, which is the one that's kind of been ongoing, they were like, okay, let's not make it as much about the car as the surface. And so you get all the feels that you're driving with Canyon and Valley and Lagoon and, oh God, Stadium. However, the car handles differently based on what surface it's on. And what that lets you do then is have a map that like starts out with a canyon feel and then goes to a stadium feel and then goes and you can kind of mix and match all of those together.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But there is something to kind of specializing the cars in Trackmania Turbo that I really liked, because it kind of directs your attention as you kind of grind away at the game. It's like, I'm just going to spend some time in Canyon. Mm-hmm. And just kind of like you get really into that and knock out a bunch of, you know, new best times. And then whenever you're starting to feel stuck there, you go to, you know, a new environment. And just the change between those kind of helps reset your brain or your thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not constantly register shifting as it is. You're kind of living in that kind of handling, that kind of space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, is this a game? So the only racing game I've at all looked into, like, how you should do it and stuff like that is the racing aspects of Grand Theft Auto, what is it, 5 is the most recent one?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one really emphasized modeling traction, so it was things where, like if you go through a bump, over a bump, that could ruin your thing, not because you, like, lose control, but just because you momentarily don't have, you know, traction to your powertrain, so you slow down, or like, you know, if you adjust your line at all, you know, the fact that you've turned now, you know, bleeds off speed, you know, stuff like that. Is Trackmania that sort of racer?
I mean, Dennis can speak to what 2020 is, and this one, you know, specifically in the off-roading, so in the canyon, which is where I spent more, or no, the valley, which is where I spent more of my time. Any kind of off-roading was especially dangerous because even mild disruptions to the surface would send you airborne in a very minor way. So that if you are not compensating, if you're not taking into account how your tires are going to be facing when you land, this could cause you to veer off very strongly in one direction or another when you come back down. I didn't pay close enough attention when I was on, you know, a more uniform surface to see how that would go. But that is as far as traction factored in, at least, you know, with the little time that I spent with it there. Dennis, can you speak to kind of Trackmania more broadly?
Yeah. Well, first off, you hit the nail on the head with Turbo. What is that? Valley? Yes, Valley. Yeah. I gotta like pull all these names out of my back pocket.
Well, they're very anonymous. Names.
So the buggy racing, really, that's what you want. You want the NASCAR car, the buggy car, I don't even know what that last one is, or the F1 car.
Yeah.
But the buggy racing is like by far the most sensitive on that front, to yeah. where like play long enough and you will become acutely aware of exactly where the dead zone in your controller is, and like you'll become attuned with your hardware in a way you did not think was possible, because yeah. it matters that much if you want to be setting the most aggressive times. The Trackmania 2020 tracks, you know, obviously it's all dependent on what you're playing, because there's plenty of tracks that are just kind of easy breezy, and you know, ones that are very, very demanding and precise. I think it is, each different surface has a different feel, but it doesn't, it's not a feel that is simmy or like feels like it comes out of the modeling of the traction of the car or what have you. You just kind of feel is really the best way to say it. Like, you just kind of have to get used to how you'll turn on that surface and the nuance of that. I don't think they put a ton of work into, you know, modeling through how the drivetrain is connecting with traction at a given point. I think it's just, you know, different numbers in whatever their system is.
Yeah,
sure. That makes sense.
So, Cole, I'm curious, have you started to kind of see the building blocks that tracks are made of, outside of obviously like, oh, that's a loop, but you're like, oh, that's that kind of turn, oh, that's an up and to the left?
Yes I am. I'm kind of this shows you how far back my like track customization vocabulary goes, but like I'm kind of looking at it as Excite Bike levels.
Yes, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
I'm real predictable. Excite Bike's a good game. But yeah, I you know, also just knowing that like, oh, everything, I don't think that they would include a track maker without the idea being that they're giving you the tools that they use. That mm-hmm. just kind of seems to be like the good ethic for that kind of deal, especially post, like, you know, let's say 2010, mm-hmm. you know, post Little Big Planet, feels like. Right. And so I'm just kind of like, okay, like if somebody was making this, you know, even without me having like looked at and, you know, really inspected the interface for putting this together, I do pay attention. You know, I was paying attention to like, okay, this feels like a prefab. This feels like it was a line that was drawn out, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it works really well on a subconscious level too, because even when you're going into a track for the first time, like it is comprised of pieces that you've seen before. And so that you can have a feel for something that you haven't necessarily learned yet, which is nice. It feels like you're playing at a higher level faster.
Yeah. So the way that I played it was, I didn't advance to the next track until I got a silver at the least. Mm-hmm. You know, just that feels reasonable. I'm nothing if not a reasonable man. and the key of this, you know, at least Trackmania Turbo, like where this game lived for me outside of just the joy of drifting around these tracks. God, the drifting in this game is really good. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of just, you know, in the hands, that loop of sight reading a track versus, you know, getting to know it, especially with how short they are, just that rapid iteration loop and how quickly you can get so much better. Mm-hmm. And even noticing, you know, outside of like the weird accidental golds that I would get occasionally, yeah. Just a little baffling. Like I fucked that up so badly, and somehow here you go, here's a gold medal for you, here the cheat, have a trophy.
Yeah. You know,
that loop sounds strangely like Cuphead to me.
Yeah,
it's like really? A minute long thing that you need to practice over and over again and perfect. Yeah.
I mean, it, like, what it reminds me of is like a lot of mobile games, actually, which is, you know, here's just the base objective. You know, you get the one star and move on, and then you have the bonus stars that you can go after. That's that's kind of the rhythm that it feels like. And I don't know, those are designed to feel good and be addictive. So
addictions can be fun, right, guys?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. There is actually a Trackmania mobile game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't think it was really popular at all. But
I yes, don't. I don't want to play this with motion or touch controls. Is the thing?
No.
Yeah.
No, much too precise for that.
Yeah.
Does it have VR though?
The mobile one?
No, I mean, like, do any of the Trackmanias have VR? Sorry,
Turbo,
I avoided that.
Turbo does have VR, yes. And it is frustrating how much the potential is not realized.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, so there's... I think they were just trying to be too considerate of people that get motion sick.
Okay.
Because instead of putting you in the cockpit for all of the tracks... for most of the tracks, you are following behind the car in third person view.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Which, you know, that, I mean, that's how you're playing in the main game. But that also just negates the coolness of being in VR.
Yeah.
And so there are certain tracks that when you go into loops or, you know, places where being in a third person view just isn't feasible, it'll snap you to the inside of the car. But one, that's more jarring that you are changing perspectives as you play. And two, like that just shows that you had the ability to do that and didn't use it, which is frustrating. So, the sections where it does do that are freaking amazing. Like, I absolutely love it. But it's a short campaign and you only get that on like, I don't know, 25% of maps.
Ugh.
And even then, like I said, you're snapping in and out, which is disorienting. So,
yeah, that, I mean, that takes us into probably what is going to stop me from playing more of this, which is, you know, I mentioned that my foray into the roller coaster land was ill-fated. and that's specifically because of the first person mode, and the Switch. There's just something that they do, you know, like there's something about the perspective. That they choose for it. I don't know if it's just like way too like low down close to the road. There are any number of things that can affect the different kinds of motion sickness that people can have. But I get into those loops or I get into those extended like super fast moving pinball kind of sections, and it's too much for me. I'm way too susceptible to motion sickness.
Mm.
And
by definition, the times that you're switching into that view are moments of extreme direction change.
Right.
And so it's like, how can we make it the most likely that, that this will ruin your run?
Yeah. Yeah. So they just decided to put in a Cole gets sick mode, which is a bummer because I was having a lot of fun up until then. Oh, well.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had fun with the parts that you've done so far.
That's all I got. Let's see, David, how about you?
Honestly, I haven't been doing a whole heck of a lot. Destiny launched its summer event, which I think is the Solstice event. Is it the Solstice now?
I mean, it was.
Sure.
A month ago.
Yeah. You know, whatever. I mean, this is a game that's very confused about how the solar system works.
Well, I mean, a solstice on which planet is the thing?
Yeah, that's good a point. Good point. You know, maybe that's their thing. But yeah, no. So summer event. There's a new limited time mission where you have to basically kill enemies to collect. I don't know, some sort of tchotchke of some sort to toss onto the bonfire to, you know, I don't know, go Wicker Man style, I guess, effectively.
Wait, Destiny has bonfires now?
It does now. So, yeah, no, I mean, it's pretty generic. Just, you know, it's an event. You get new stuff. The big thing is... each class gets a new armor set, and then as you complete objectives for the event, you upgrade the armor set. So it starts out being, you know, fairly low tier, but then you can, you know, upgrade to have super high stats. And then if you get the highest tier, you can actually get it to have a glow effect. That's kind of cool. So the armor itself all looks sort of like this real stylized plate mail with a phoenix motif.
Okay.
So real big and chunky, at least on my Titan. I think it's the same on the others, although obviously not quite as much. So that's kind of cool. There's also a bunch of new cosmetics that are mostly ridiculous, like having your ghost wear a sunbonnet or having your ghost just be a beach ball.
Okay.
Yeah, things like that.
So they've reached that phase of customizability.
Yeah, yeah. They've kind of been that for the last couple of things, which is really disappointing. The season stuff is actually really good. This season is all of the armor and weapons and stuff like that are kind of this metalized, you know, skeletal demon. It basically looks like Doom aesthetics.
Okay.
Which is really cool. But the event, things lately, yeah, have been much more silly.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest downside and issue I have is that there's a optional, effectively, battle pass for the event, which is on top of, I've already bought the battle pass for this season. And I think the glowing thing is definitely behind a pay mechanic. It might actually be an additional thing on top of the battle pass for this season.
Mm.
So they're really, really getting hostile with the pay-to-play type stuff on a game that, you know, you have to buy first.
Ugh, weird.
Yeah, so that's really very unfortunate. And because of that, that's basically all I have to say about that.
got anything else?
Other than that, I've been playing played today just a little bit of Zombie Army 4. So that's the Sniper Elite spinoff. That's where Hitler raised an army of the dead.
Okay.
This time around, I want to say the previous one was just sort of a real kind of fly-by-night, you know, low-priced offshoot that was just kind of a just-for-funsy type of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas this one time around, they actually released it as a full game, and, you know, it has, you know, character progression and unlocks and cosmetics and, you know, all those sorts of things you'd expect. You know, a lot higher production values, things like that. So that's pretty cool overall. I haven't gotten super far in, but there is a lot of just fun, silly things. You know, you'll find typewriters throughout the level, and if you interact with them, they'll just start typing threatening messages. One of the collectibles is to shoot these like creepy little dolls, and then they'll do weird, weird things like, you know, you'll shoot it and then, you know, turn around and there'll be like 10 dolls behind you and stuff.
Okay.
So there's just a bunch of weird, mostly pseudo horror themed, kind of Easter egg type of things.
Hmm.
It's also fun that they are continuing, you know, the previous one was like, you know, Hitler, when he realizes he's going to win the war, you know, summons the dead with, legally distinct from the Necronomicon or some such.
Okay.
And, you know, ultimately the final boss is zombie Hitler.
I mean,
it's the only logical conclusion.
Obligatory.
Right, exactly. Whereas this one is leaning into like, oh, you guys have taken out zombie Hitler, but the zombies are still coming. Like, we got to figure out what's going on. And then also, like, all the various armies that we're fighting have, you know, the survivors have gone together and formed this resistance movement to fight the zombies. So it's really leaning in to the story a lot more, which is fun because the groundwork of their initial story is so shoddy.
Okay.
So that's just, you know, kind of fun, kind of silly.
Hmm. I like the ethic of these zombie army games, you know, like LOL, Zombie Hitler, whatever, that aside, but the fact that they just feel completely liberated to be goofy as hell,
right? Exactly.
Is a really neat kind of concept. Just like, okay, you've got your serious game, and over here you have the place where anything goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's only gone more with that. You know, now with the upgrade trees, all of the weapons have at least one just silly upgrade where it's like, my 1911 can, as I kill enemies, build up like vials of holy water that I can then do to do some sort of like super holy elemental attack.
Oh, your 1911 doesn't do that?
I mean, no. Yeah, that's aftermarket.
Okay. I mean, I bought mine from a guy, you know, like the serial numbers are fired off. I just figured there was no reason for it to be a 45. So maybe they just decided, let's put some holy water in the extra space as ballast.
Oh, you know, that makes sense.
God, the 1911 is a cool gun. I don't care if it's really basic. It's really good. Continue.
Yeah, and you know, with that, you know, so they have that. They have you know, World War II's fun because it's kind of the split between, I guess, older designs of weapons and newer designs. So you have just weird things like and my understanding is this is actually a thing that exists, break action triple barrel shotgun that the Germans fielded to their pilots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just weird stuff like that. So yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's you know, fun that the fact that, you know, it's like every army is working together means it's real easy to be super, you know, multicultural, so you can play pretty much any ethnicity you want, you know, all sorts of stuff like that.
Yeah. Not bad. So you're having a good time?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Cool.
So that's all I got.
Nice. Ben, round us out.
I think it'll be a quick week. I only have one tiny one. I finished, quote unquote, Stray today. I think I only had like maybe 1 or 2 hours left of it. Where are you at in this game, Cole? Because I don't want to go too far in explanation.
Still real close to the beginning, you know.
Okay.
Probably about, you know, if it is a 5 hour game, I'm like 2 hours in.
Okay. I guess all I will say is that I guess my impression of it last week kind of continued to hold true to the end, where the art looks good, the animations look good, all that stuff's great. The game mechanics just are kind of fall flat for me, like all the way up to the end. Just a lot of fetch quests and a lot of kind of uninspiring type things for me. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate that it exists, I guess, but I think it's priced well as well, since it's like a 5 hour game. It's like a $30 mm-hmm. game, I think.
Yeah.
So I think I don't feel like they mispriced it or anything like that. I don't have any like ill will towards the game or anything. I just think that it could have been a little bit better. Just like tiny things too. Like they just needed more like game mechanics there. Like the early one that I think you've already experienced is like things like chasing you or something like that. So it's like one game mechanic they have, but they just do that over and over for at least like half the game, you know, and they don't really innovate on it at all, you know? So it's like, Anyway,
it was like neat but shallow. It felt like the direction it was trending toward.
Yeah. But you know, meow mechanic's still fun all the way up to the end. I realized that it's kind of like the Ethan in Heavy Rain, where during cutscenes you can meow like at any point in time.
Somebody, Jason, play yeah. X to Jason.
Ethan's the character that
chatter. You can meow in Heavy Rain.
somebody modded somebody modded Stray so instead of meowing you shout Jason.
Excellent. But yeah, it's a short game though, so I think you could probably beat it in like 2 sittings or so, but
nice. Did you have anything else?
Not really. There wasn't really any change in how I felt about it from last week. So I wish there. I will say this. I did not beat the game to the end. I got frustrated at the second to last chapter to the point where I was like, I'm just going to watch a YouTube video at the end of this.
Yeah, and that's reasonable.
Yeah. But I won't describe why I was frustrated because that will spoil one of the enemies. So, but yeah. And then just like things that don't make sense in the world, if you're like being nitpicky, where it's like some things are aggro towards you, but then the same things are not aggro to you in another part of the map for seemingly no reason.
And oh, weird. Like,
yeah, there's just like just small like nitpicks like that. And it, and like the talking with characters is still like very, very flat, you know, where it's like different people will have the exact same line of dialogue if you like show them an item or talk to them. And so it just kind of incentivizes you to just not explore the world or not talk to people because you're not really rewarded for that, you know? So just kind of bummers like that, which is like, I guess I'm surprised because it seems like the only post that I see about this online is like people being like, oh, this is amazing. You play as a cat sort of thing. But
yeah, I think, I kind of think that's just what it, you know, what it is.
Yeah.
I think that the Untitled Goose Game, comparison is reasonable.
Yeah, it's like Untitled Goose Game if they took out all the NPCs in the game and you just walk through like an empty map and it's like, wow, these controls are fun. Like how I interact with things, but there's not a lot to do
here. I can press a button to honk.
Yeah. But anyway, all right. Yeah, I'll stop throwing shade at it. Again, like mixed feelings. Like it's a really good demo for a game. You know, if they make a sequel, I think they could improve on a lot of things. So I think it could be a good game. So maybe they do that with the popularity of the game right now.
If they're going to make if they're going to make a sequel, that means the Stray isn't adopted by the end. I'm heartbroken.
I don't know.
That could be another Stray. There's lots of stray cats.
Yeah,
That's fair.
It's like Hitman. It's a different Hitman in every game. In case you didn't know, just like Bond. What? I don't know.
Anybody can be 47. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, they're really falling down on the merch department, though. That's disappointing me.
Oh, and Stray?
Yeah.
I think, robot toy or something? Or, I don't know.
I think maybe they were caught off guard, possibly, and didn't have time to spin up the production process. I would not be surprised if there is a Stray collection on Fangamer at some point.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff on Etsy, but
right.
I know at the end when they show the credits, they have like two people's names notably as like the creators of the game. So yeah. I'm not sure how big the studio is that made this, but it could possibly be a very, very small team. So
yeah.
Hmm. So have you guys seen that someone modded in Garfield?
That no. you're swooping my unboss.
Oh, so. Is that your thing? Okay.
There's a bunch.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Did you have any other games, Ben?
That's all I got.
Gotcha.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and you answer. Dennis, what is the question you ask the nice people?
Yeah, inspired by Stray. I think we need more games where you play as an animal. So what fauna would you feature in a game and why?
A game about flora would be boring. So this is good.
I mean, Plants vs. Zombies.
Let's see. You're not really playing as the plants, though. You're somebody at the house who is protecting their house with plants.
In flower, and you're ben, playing flower, as a petal.
Yeah. Flower is boring, so.
Aww. It's relaxing. That's how you market it.
Ollie writes, Dam Architect. It's a resource management game where you play as a beaver. This kind of exists. You are not playing as the beaver building the dam yourself. It's a game called Timberborn. It's a city builder. It's like it's like Frostpunk, but with beavers. And I have had my eye on it for a very long time.
It's
in early access, I think. Yeah, I'm waiting for it to come out as well.
It's got a Z-axis.
Go ahead. Okay, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to change subjects, so you should.
I was just going to say it's real good. So go ahead.
I was going to say, I like the title Dam Architect because it seems like it could just be a shoddy architecture game, you know?
Architect of the Damned. Let's see here. Ben, what does Callum say?
Callum says, being from New Zealand, an open world Ki, native mountain parrot, game would be appealing. As Ki are mischievous as hell, including things like pulling the rubber out of tourist cars and such, would be entertaining for me.
Yeah, the Ki or Kia, I'm not sure which it is. That is the shaggy green parrot who, it's the one that tried to fuck that guy's head, but also the party bird emote that we have in our Slack. I believe that is a Ki.
So what's the difference between basically Loki as a bird?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a Ki and a like Kookaburra? I thought that was a Kookaburra that was the party parrot, but I could be wrong.
Kookaburra. I know that Kookaburra.
The Kookaburra sits in the old gum tree. I mean, clearly.
No,
someone had to do it.
A Kookaburra has like a really distinctive beak and head shape. Like I cannot see a Kookaburra and not think it is just really sarcastic and looking down at you. Mm-hmm. Also corroborated by the fact that they don't like their call is just a laugh. whereas the Ki has like a more standard parrot hook beak kind of deal.
Got it.
Yeah. Let's see here. David, what does Jeremy say?
Jeremy says, it would be fun to see a game featuring dinosaurs. You would pick a starter dino and live as one of them, from the small one to a giant one, from the depth of the sea to the sky. Could be amazing to learn about all the different kinds.
Yeah.
That actually would be pretty cool.
Do like a modern version of, Evolution.
Okay.
Yeah, or Evo. That is one. The SNES Square action RPG.
Is that the one where... I know there's one where it's like... You like start as a fish and you eat the smaller fish and become bigger and, you know, don't get eaten by the large fish, that sort of thing.
I mean, I think that's another game by the flower people, Flow. That's the concept for a few. But this one, I forget what you start as, but you eventually evolve into man. I believe that you have to like kill the devil because
what? That took a turn.
The final evolution. You kill religion.
I mean, it is a JRPG. It's made by Square, so yeah.
I do like Jeremy's kind of proposing like a subset of Pokemon, you know?
Yes.
Just take a subset of the Pokemon. Could be sweet.
we have the opposite of this with Second Extinction.
Yeah.
And the other number of games where you just go and
Monster take out Hunter.
Dinosaurs. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We need one where you are hunting. I guess, there's a Jurassic Park like management sim.
I guess that
doesn't really count.
There have been a few. Still, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Dennis, what does Greg say?
Greg says, there hasn't been a bird game, has there? It would be fun to play as an eagle or an owl. Oh, yes, there has. There has to have. I'm thinking of, first off, Skatebird, which is you are a bird skateboarding.
Well, you're skateboarding.
And then Jala played and talked about an eagle flight game. I'm blanking on the name.
Yeah, I'm blinking on the name as well, but she brought two of them in 1 week because she had a very particular itch that needed scratching, and I don't think either of them did it for her. Playing as any kind of raptor would be fun.
Mm-hmm. There's the game Owlboy that came out a while ago. Where that's you're
more,
an owl.
Oh, yeah.
That's more of just a standard like Metroidvania kind of deal. We did it on WoF.
Metroidvania plus depression.
I'd be interested if there was like a much more simmy bird game where like you're managing the flight of like how to beat your wings and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yeah.
There's, you know,
quops in the air.
Yeah.
Is that Flappy Bird?
Birds are like a really cool plane helicopter hybrid kind of deal here.
Yeah.
This will be the next
Kerbal.
Yeah.
I mean,
I want to see that reflected in the controls.
Especially a long flying bird that relies on thermals and stuff like that. You're not far off. That'd be pretty cool. Let's see here. This will be me. Sam says, if mythological animals are okay, I want a game where you're a Yale, one of the animals made up by Pliny the Elder, that doesn't show up in any fantasy media nearly enough. Not enough games where you have prehensile horns.
Ooh.
Yeah. I like the idea of doing a if mythological creatures are in play, a co-op game where three people play one manticore.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Or chimera. I'd never heard of a Yale before. This sent me down a Wikipedia hole.
I put in Gale creature and then half of Congress came up. So that's weird.
Yep.
Let's see here. And then Ben, round us out with what David says.
David says, picture this, an idle game where you play as a sloth.
Yeah.
I can picture that.
Yeah. And Ali submits that would be a not walking simulator.
Yeah. And just like with the sloth, it would play in real time, but it only accepts inputs every hour.
Oh,
oh my gosh. For mine, there are not enough games where you play as insects. Mm. You know, there's
Simant.
So like a modern Simant would be really fun. There's Deadly Creatures, which is a Wii game where you can play as either a tarantula or a scorpion. Weirdly enough, Deadly Creatures, I believe there are two humans in it, both voiced by actors who have won Oscars.
What?
Yeah, no, Dennis Hopper and Billy Bob Thornton are voice actors in this Wii budget game, which is real fun. Yeah, or like Bad Mojo as a fun PC horror puzzle game where you play as a cockroach. Yeah, a game where you play as a bug. There are lots of different kind of bugs. Doing something like that. Ben, how about you?
I don't have an answer for this, I guess. Tried thinking of one, but there's like it's with the cat game or whatever. It's something you don't know you want to play until you see it, and so I don't have a good answer for this, unfortunately.
Ben just can't imagine being anyone but himself.
That makes me sad. I don't want that to be true.
Oh no.
No, that was like a positive, like, you know, that was meant to be encouraging.
Oh, sorry. I interpreted it as like not having any empathy or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Ben what has, do you think I think of you?
I don't know.
Ben has aphantasia. Yeah. let's see here. David, how about you?
I'm going to go with the easy and obvious one, kobolds.
Okay.
I think my problem with I don't play many like let's play the bad guy games, because like I don't like bad things happening to people. But if you could play a let's play the bad guy game where you're a bad guy who has no realistic way of causing any real harm.
Oh yeah. Just real small ball, just antic stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I basically want like Thief except as trivial as possible.
Nice. And round us out, Dennis. How about you?
Yeah, I might have to change my answer to the Sim bird game. But the one I was going to start with, so there was a game that came out, you played it as an ape going on a rampage.
You're thinking of Ape Out.
Ape Out. Okay, I was going to say Going Ape, but that wasn't right.
Ape would also work.
Yeah, I want to see Ape Out, but just with a kangaroo instead of an ape. Like, same deal. I just want to kick someone through a wall.
Isn't that just Punch Out?
Perhaps.
Like, do you know that? Isn't that first person? Are you sure you're not a kangaroo?
we'll have to ask the designer.
Yeah.
Dennis, side note, have you heard of or played the board game Wingspan?
I have. You can't not hear about Wingspan if you're in the hobby at all. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, yeah.
That's actually now on Steam as well.
I have not played it, but I know that it is widely venerated.
It is a very delightful game.
I think that's everybody. We got everybody, right? Yeah, I go in the Sweet. Order. I go in the order that we roll. Thank you everybody for responding. If you would like to throw in on any of these to participate, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. like the page and respond on Monday afternoons. And thank you, Dennis, for posting this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I know this is after the fact, but I think I came up with an answer.
Okay.
What if raccoon in a video game where you go into rabies mode at certain times and that's like your barbarian stat?
Oh, that's great.
Just a hey, Ben, you know, that's not how rabies works, right?
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, you just gloss it over for the video game, right?
Oh, it is. You just can't come out of rabies mode.
Well, yeah, here we'll suspend that fact. We'll just say it's, you know.
Oh, man. Neat. I think raccoon is a good one. Similar to the kobold thing where you're getting into, I mean, just if you're just
hijinks.
Planning elaborate heist to open up garbage cans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about the things that are going on in the world of video games around us, oftentimes that are exciting to us. David, what is going on at U of T?
Yeah, so University of Toronto has acquired a massive collection of video games. There was a man named Sid Bolton that ran the, I believe it's the Personal Computer Museum, and also was a big collector of video games and associated things. So this collection includes 14,000 video games and about 5,000 magazines, and then, you know, various consoles and whatnot. And nice. The school is going to be, you know, basically making this part of their library. So, you know, their cataloging it and stuff like that, and, you know, preserving it. And then it's going to be available for, you know, people to check out. The other thing with this, though, is they're planning on using that to do more classes on, I guess, I don't know what you'd call it. Not exactly video game history. Like, you know, just, you know, the same way you have film classes, except for video games.
Game studies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it sounds really cool. They've also talked about doing some preservation work with it.
Cool.
So, yeah, this seems like a really cool thing that's being done.
Yeah, anything that has a preservation bent to it, I am all in favor of.
Yeah, this is near and dear to my heart because, like, my main source of video games for the longest time was the library collection.
Oh yeah,
at my local library. So I have very fond memories of getting all kinds of games out to play from there.
Yeah.
Most notably, I upgraded the graphics card on our PC so I could play Star Wars Pod Racer. you know, my mom had no idea what I was talking about, but I was excited. We made it happen for a game that I didn't even own, for a game I was just going to get out for a couple weeks from the library.
Well,
I mean, Podracer is pretty amazing.
Podracer, there are worse games to upgrade your PC for than Podracer.
Well, it's funny, we've wrapped around to the I don't own any of my games, I just kind of get them out for a certain period of time.
Oh, right.
So we've come back around.
Yeah, neat. I've got my story, which was so thoughtlessly ruined by David, I believe.
That's how I roll. Cobalt shenanigans.
It is the world of Stray modding. We are really stray-pilled this week. Mm-hmm. But just, I thought this was funny. This is, a lot of these have popped up over on Twitter. A game that is this popular kind of for its meme appeal. The mod scene is going to start going nuts with it, which is what has happened with various skins for the game that have come out. There are the obligatory but still funny ones where you can bring Garfield into the game, making him your character, which is weird because your cat is way more acrobatic than Garfield would would prefer to be. The incredibly cursed CJ mod. Which is CJ,
my favorite.
Yeah, CJ from San Andreas running around and meowing, like just it is CJ, but his body has been contorted to be cat like.
Shit, here we meow again.
There are a number of mods that are less fantastical than those, but are aimed at making it so the character, so that the cat character that you play as looks like your cat. So there are generic ones for different breeds, different coat patterns. And there are also some very specific ones that are modeled after particular people's cats. I think that that is nice and heartwarming and fun. If I am being honest, that is a cool way. You know, there are artists who are doing, taking commissions to make skins for the cats.
Which can we appreciate for a second that Stray like has all this and like an artist doing a commission for a game, that's great. They're not trying to have some sort of, you know, shitty microtransaction season pass deal for the cats and various mm-hmm. skins. So
they're too small of a company to do that yet.
Yeah. I would do this, but there are two reasons, one which is real and the other which is just me being a little bit too precious, which is the first one, I'm playing it on PS5, so I don't think you can, I don't believe that has mod or skin support. I think all of this is PC, given the fact that every one of these links is to a Nexus Mods page. But the precious one is, I've got two cats. How can I decide which one I want to play as? Oh. I would have to play the game two times.
Yeah, you need like a rotation or... You know,
if I'm running around in this game as Greta and Dottie's sitting there like, what the hell, man? it's way too fraught politically.
I love you both equally.
I do. They're both sweet. They're both sweet baby girls in their own way.
So just in terms of, you know, cursing all of this, someone made a mod that replaces all of the cat sounds with sounds made by a cat girl VTuber.
Oh no. Oh, that is incredibly... No, I don't like that at all. Oh god, you posted a link to it. No. I'm gonna move on from this as quickly as possible. Dennis!
Yeah, it's, you know, kind of a slow week, nothing huge. So I found a Elden Ring name generator. And I just thought it would really behoove us all to click the random generator once and let everyone know what your official, non-changeable forever Elden Ring name is. So,
okay.
Honor system that you only clicked it once, but I would just like us all to read off our names for posterity. I will start because I already have it up and clicked.
Okay.
My Elden Ring name is God Mike, the Roasted Jellyfish.
That's a really good one. God Mike is great. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, their characters, Godwin, Godric.
Yep.
Yeah. it's just a naming convention that's in there. And also the roasted jellyfish is fun. Mine, mm-hmm. I like this as well. Mine is Warted Zagan, the Hoax Chosen.
Nice.
Spell hoax. H-O-A-X?
H-O-A-X, yes.
Okay. The Hoax Chosen.
Yeah, Hoax Chosen is good. And Warted Zagan. That's more of an NPC name than a boss name. But yeah.
Okay.
Who wants to go next? So David.
I've got Lo Hello, the Butchered Pot.
Hi, Dottie. Dottie brought me a present.
Aw.
Yeah, unfortunately, haven't gotten far enough. I've gotten far enough to realize that pots are a thing. I've not gotten far enough to figure out why there's a 3-story tall pot in the distance.
They're warrior jars. They're living jars. Some of them are warriors, but there is a process where human remains are put into them, and then they take on the combined personalities and powers of whatever's put inside.
Seems legit.
Oh, that's great.
I am.
Guys, Lich I accidentally hamster. Put some butter in the warrior jar. I'm really sorry.
go ahead, Ben.
I'm Lich Hamster, the Butchered Tree Sentinel.
Ooh. So
me and David were both butchered.
Yeah, oh. You know.
And
Tree Sentinel.
That's how it goes in Lands Between.
The Tree Sentinel is a particular... At first, it's a boss. It's the first mounted boss that you encounter when you enter Limgrave, the first area.
Oh, the asshole.
Yeah, yeah, that fucking guy.
Name fits.
Yeah, and then you you start encountering them as, you know, regular enemies, like mini boss kind of encounters throughout the game. They are dicks, so they should be butchered. Each and every one of them all.
Even Lich Hamster.
And Ben, round us out. What's happening with Coder?
So this one came out. This is fresh. This came out while we were recording. But apparently the Knights Old Republic remake that was coming out for PS5 has been delayed, quote unquote, indefinitely. The two heads of the studio, Asper, that was doing the remake, were fired recently. Ooh, after... After showing the game to Sony and Lucasfilm. So apparently the progress they had made was not good enough to warrant firing the heads of the studio.
Aspyr's had a lot of problems recently.
Is this the same people that did a Switch port that literally would not finish?
Yeah, that was the developer of the Coder 2 port that you couldn't finish.
How could the PS5 version be worse than that?
I mean, this was a ground up remake.
And so they also announced, that the game might not be released until 2025, which would be kind of funny because the development for the remake might be longer than the original game.
That's painful.
That sucks. Well, yep. I guess it might have been better to clean house early than just try and save something that might have been doomed under that leadership.
I don't know the situation, so I won't pretend to know. But I guess gut level feel a lot better about watching the two heads of the studio fired rather than like, hey, they cleaned house of every developer working on it.
Yeah, I like it when leadership is made to be held accountable.
Well, yeah, almost like leadership should be held accountable.
That's not the American way.
Well, that's a bummer. I wish we didn't end on that downer, but I'm glad we didn't end on the cat girl noises.
but now we are.
How do y'all feel about buttoning it up?
Let us button.
The credit. Thank you so much for listening to level number 423. Sorry this one's short, but I think that all of us have our own summer stuff going on that is keeping us from playing games, and that's okay. Let's see, as far as admin stuff goes. Oh, we just announced it, yesterday, but Orb, our show about, the network show about Venture Brothers is coming to a close because we have run out of, Venture Brothers to talk about.
So and would you say that Orb has gone full circle?
Yes. Well, I mean, full circle would be starting at the end and then going back toward the beginning. And I don't know that we want to do that.
So are you gonna also announce the new podcast that talks about the podcast that covers Adventure Brothers?
No, we're not gonna do that. That would be weird. That's a weird thing to suggest, Ben.
I keep trying to make your network more Kaufman-esque.
But we have we have announced what we are going to be covering after. We wanted to keep it television. We wanted to keep it as non-video game media. The show is going to be, it's called Best Quality Vacuum, which is named after a business in Breaking Bad. We're going to be talking about Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul.
Oh, sweet.
Huh. Yeah. There's not a dearth of, reaction podcasts, recap podcasts for that very popular show. Like, there are probably way too many of them, but both of us really enjoy that show, and it's kind of been a through line through the network. Like, it was one of our early, like, a non-video game thing that we talked about every week while you recorded kind of deal. We've wanted to do this for a long time. The joke title that we almost went with, but we decided it would be SEO Poison, we wanted to call it the Crystal Chronicles. But Best Quality Vacuum is a little bit less it's a little bit less catfishy, let's say. That's going to be starting. We don't have a start date yet just because we have to finish up Orb. We want to get a little bit of a buffer on it before we go, but likely here in the fall. Other than that, though, supporting this show, you know what you can do. ratings, reviews, Patreon, all of that kind of stuff. Jala's podcast, Jala Chan's Place, I believe she has an interview with Deaveki, the developer behind the FMV games, that she really enjoys, and I enjoyed the ones that I've streamed, the Poem Monroe, things of that nature, the Dr. Decker game, where you are supernatural psychiatrist kind of guy. She has an interview with them that's going to be coming out over at jalachan.place. And Dennis, you're going to be at Gen Con here soon. Where can people find you?
You can find me basically every hour. I'll be doing a demo, and I'm still waiting for like my table location. So
gotcha.
We'll update on that, but excited to see anyone who will be there.
Cool. Anybody else have anything they want to juice?
No.
Okay. So that's the show. I've been Cole Ross. You can watch my streams this weekend. I am going to be continuing streaming Resident Evil 8 over at the twitch.tv/duckfeedtv.
I've been God Mike the Roasted Jellyfish, and you can find me on Twitter at Deck of Wonders with underscores between the words.
I've been David Meismith, and you can apparently find me in a pot.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Easter egg. Okay, I've only got one. I have Yale Creature.
Pretty good.
Okay.
They're not spelled at all different though, so it's
I think
you would get it as you listen.
Yeah, you would see the name Yale Creature and then the context would become apparent.
Yeah,
the double meaning.
That's pretty good. I God Mike the Roasted Jellyfish, obviously. but that's what I wrote down.
Okay,
so I have Cole Gets Sick Mode. which I like because it could be, sick mode or a mode where you get sick.
Okay.
I have You Can Meow in Heavy Rain.
I like it better as a statement.
Yes, you can. And I have Skatebirding.
Okay. Goddamn autocorrect. Skatebirding, not skateboarding. Mm-hmm. Oh, now I get it wrong. Okay. Ben, what you got?
We were all over the place. I have Slits for Hot Dogs. And I have Rogue Dislike.
Okay. By laughs, Cole Gets Sick Mode is in there. But does anybody want to make an impassioned plea?
We had no two votes for a single title, right?
I know, right?
Yeah. That's crazy.
No, I am partial to Cole Gets Sick Mode.
Okay.
So we have an accord.
It is decided.